Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? May be curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another China Business Cast. This is episode number 63. How are you, Mike?
I am trying to stay as cool as possible. It's only June, and I know it's going to get hot, but we've been all staying down here. It's hotter than usual at this time of year. It's just feeling like
Mike, June. It's not your first time in Shenzhen. You can't complain.
I'm not complaining. I'm just stating the fact that this feels like July or August already.
Stay tuned for August.
Yeah, let's see if it cools down, but probably not. How about you, Shlomo? How are things?
I'm good. I'm flying out in a week to China, flying to Shenzhen to see you.
Yeah.
going to TechCrunch in Shenzhen. Then a few more days. So yeah, we'll spend some time together, and also in Shanghai going to MWC. And guys, we're also planning a few special episodes with in-person recording of Mike and myself. So stay tuned about this. And of course, we're going to do that in shorts because Mike is suffering from the heat.
It's going to be hot. We can get the aircon, I think, for that. But
amazing. Aircon in China.
Actually, really quick. I don't even know what MWC is. So maybe the listeners.
It's Mobile World Congress. The original one is in Barcelona, and then they have all around the world now.
Oh, nice.
And they have one in Shanghai for a few years now.
Okay, cool.
We'll add it in the show notes.
Sure, that'd be helpful. Great. And
yeah. I also read a really, speaking about mobile, I also read a really interesting presentation or watched a really interesting presentation made by Matt Brennan, who was in our show a while ago. He's doing the China channel, and he's all about WeChat. And he made a presentation about why Apple is dropping in China. I just read it just before the recording. Really, really interesting. We can add it on the show notes if you're interested in mobile in China. That's definitely something for you to look at.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. I mean, like we were saying before, I'm amazed Apple has been able to kind of be able to stay in China as long as it has. You know, Google left like almost 8 years ago or so. And Apple's been doing well. I mean, I think he had a report. I've gone through parts of it and I've heard him speak about it. And I just feel also WeChat is probably just cutting into that because it's easy to switch between Apple and iOS. If you're just using WeChat mostly, which is what most people in China just use WeChat. So you don't have all this, the apps and stuff to lock you in as much.
Yeah, maybe because they're hardware and not only software like Google. So maybe that's the thing. Though Google has their phones.
Yeah. But
nobody, I think, buys Google phones in China.
True. Well, it means better for your app in China business, right? Whereas more Android,
definitely
Android users,
more Android users.
Yeah.
But I don't think Apple would be completely dead in China. I mean, it might be a minor. But
yeah, I don't think it's going to go away. Yeah, they'll be around for a long time. Okay, and then when you're here in town, Shlomo, we're excited to announce we mentioned on the last show we're going to do a meetup for China Business Cast listeners here in Shenzhen on June 21st. It's a Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. at the Liger Star Space venue, which is in the Tsinghua Technology Park. We will put the information and address on a few places, our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ChinaBusinessCast, as well as right here on the show notes at ChinaBusinessCast.com. So definitely check that out for more information. So Shlomo.
Awesome. Can't wait. I really want to meet our listeners.
Yeah, we want to meet more of you guys. We've been talking in a WeChat group with some people and in other ways. So I think we'll get some pictures and try to put that some highlights of that on our next show. So this is the last show until the meetup. So hope you guys catch you there.
That's in around 10 days.
Yep. All right, Shlomo, so who we got this week?
This week we have Robin Schulman and James Tanian Stewart from 51 Talk. Robin is a senior editor at 51 Talk, and she's also a LinkedIn influencer. This is how I got to know her. And James is their North American marketing manager. We actually had very interesting questions coming up from our listeners in the WeChat group. This is the second time that we did it, and we're definitely going to keep it on because that was obviously more interesting for the listeners to have their questions in, and it was more engaging. So we really liked it, and I hope the listeners like it too.
Okay, let's tune in.
Let's tune in.
So hello everybody and welcome to another China Business Cast. It's me, Shlomo, here. Mike is not there recording, but we do have special two guests today from a company called 51Talk. 51Talk is China's leading online English education platform. The company's mission is to take quality education accessible and affordable, and through their online platform, they enable millions of students across China to take live one-on-one interactive English lessons with North American teachers. Okay, I took that from their website. That's the official description of the company, but obviously we want to hear the nitty-gritty and interesting stuff about the company. This is why we have our guest today. So we have Robin. Hello, Robin.
Hi, Shlomo. Thank you for having me.
Great having you. And James. Hey, James.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's great having you both. So Robin is a senior editor for 51Talk. She's also a LinkedIn influencer in the education sector. And I'm going to talk about this throughout the interview, so don't worry about this, because people are always interested to know how you influence other people. And she's also an education reporter. James is the North American marketing manager of 51Talk. And this question is actually for both of you. So why don't you tell our audience first about your responsibilities at the company and a bit about your background so people you would know where you came from.
Yeah, so like you said, I'm the North American marketing manager. And my role is a really multifaceted one. On one hand, I'm always working to grow our teacher community here in the West. But on the other, I'm working on a number of business development initiatives and working on some partnerships here in the U.S. as well. And it's exciting for me because I get to be involved in lots of different segments of the business, and I get to see, you know, my work pay off as the company grows and our teachers and students really benefit from 51Talk's platform.
Okay. Robin?
So yeah, so my role is kind of working, well, I work with James, and My piece is kind of bringing in the thought leadership guidance and bringing in, my background is in education. I started in the classroom. I became an ESL teacher myself. So I have the pedagogy, the knowledge, the curriculum based piece there. So what I do is I do different things in regard to building out our space here in North America in regard to visibility, in kind of making 51Talk displayed and showed like how they are as the, you know, the thought leaders in this space, in this new space. And so through that, we do it through different ways. Some are through, we do teacher interviews. We have teachers write articles. I do the editing. Mm-hmm. We interview the founders. We do different types of things where we also provide teachers with opportunities to get bylines and other publications so that they feel and that they know, because they are thought leaders in this space as well.
I see.
So I help to support that ongoing public growth by, and also supporting the teachers in their own individual ways by providing them different opportunities. I also help James set up. We have some private groups for the teachers where we provide a space for them to chat. And I'm helping to build out some partnerships too that I know will be beneficial for 51Talk.
Okay. So before speaking about the company itself, I want to ask both of you about your positions, as there are many foreigners who are looking for top position in Chinese companies, and 51Talk is a large company corporate. And they have the skills, but in my opinion, it seems to be harder and harder for them to get these kind of roles or top roles on these companies, because there are more and more Chinese people living and working in the West. And, you know, there are a lot of, that's a competition for foreigners, definitely for the ones in China. And I wonder then what's the distinction of what qualities necessary for such roles, what one has to bring to the table in order to make worthwhile contributions for those positions that you're now doing.
Sure. I guess I could go for that one. So yeah. I think there are a couple of, you know, key qualities that'll really answer that question. The first one sounds really obvious, but you definitely have to be a team player. 51Talk's a really large company, and it has so many different departments that work and complement each other that any project you have can have at least two or three different teams collaborating on it from different departments. So it's really vital that you make sure your team's interests are represented and well executed on, and that they fit in with the deliverables that you're looking for, and that the final product makes sense, not just, you know, from your side of the puzzle, but from everyone else's. So that's really important. The next one is you have to be able to juggle multiple responsibilities. Like with the type of product I just mentioned, you can expect to have at least, you know, several of those major ones going on at the same time. So you have to be able to keep track of your priorities, make sure that you're performing well in all of them and you're not, you know, falling behind. Mm-hmm. Also, this is a major one. You have to be able to work around the clock. I'm based in New York, but a lot of my colleagues are spread out across Asia. So as you probably know, there's a very big time difference there. So, it's, you know, pretty much an everyday occurrence where you're working pretty late into the night to stay in sync with people there, because
you're soon starting your day.
Right, right. And let's just say there's some important email or some kind of, you know, question that you need answered. If you're not up at night when people are, you know, awake during the daytime in China, you might have like a 24-hour lapse in time between the response. And this is a really fast-paced business. It's very fiercely competitive. So sometimes you just can't afford to have that kind of delay. So it's very important that you're always on top of things and, you know, pushing yourself to just be up a bit longer and, you know, working into the night sometimes. And I guess finally, just, you know, don't be complacent, because not just in 51Talk, but a lot of, you know, businesses of this nature, it's very, very competitive. And mm-hmm. if you know, slip, you drop the ball, I guarantee that some competitor is going to come in and take it from you. So you really have to be on your A game all the time.
Okay. Robin?
Well, you know what? I don't have as much experience in the Chinese culture as James does. So I'm learning as I go along from him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that, you know, he's taught me a ton. I'm so grateful to him. I have not visited China. So I would have to say, I think that our work together is probably, you know, focuses on this very, very strong work ethic that you have to have, and you have to be committed to the growth of the company or any company. Mm-hmm. And naturally, instinctively, that's the way I am, and that's the way I work, because that's how I believe everyone should work. But I do believe that, you know, once you commit yourself to something, whether it's here or in China, and maybe a little different in China, I'm not sure, but you do have to be, you know, on the ball and follow through. Mm-hmm. And you got to really, really stay on top of things. You know, if I say I'm going to get this something done, I'm going to get it done. So that's how our relationship is. And, but I think that's how it should be. So I'm okay. Really still learning a lot from James.
Okay. Okay.
he's the specialist in that area.
Okay. Let's ask more China questions then. James, can you tell me maybe how 51Talk was started actually?
Sure. So we were founded about 6 years ago, and it happened to be the perfect time for a company like this, because in the years preceding our founding, there were a lot of companies that tried to do the same thing, but many of them failed. And one of the reasons for this is that at the time of our founding, one of the reasons that we succeeded is because the internet penetration and quality in China were at a tipping point whereby, you know, a platform like ours could exist online, people mm-hmm. could access the internet and things like that. And of course, the demand was there for this as well, because so many people in China want to learn English. But another issue that makes our kind of economy of scale approach so enticing to these people is that it can be really inhibitively expensive to take lessons not online, because you have to travel sometimes in lots of traffic to get to an English school. The lessons can be very expensive. And something that we offer, which is different, like I said, is an economy of scale. We have so many students who want to take classes that it drives the price down and makes it very affordable for people in China to do this online. And it's also just very convenient, because you can be on your computer, you can be on your phone, you can be wherever you are in China and still take a lesson, which is something that's really great about it. So
I heard that the cities in China are quite big. There are a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. So I think basically at our founding, the infrastructure was there, the timing was right, and the demand was there, and all those things came together for us.
Okay. We have a China Business Cast WeChat group, and on the intro and also on the show notes, we were saying how you can actually join that group. we have questions also from the audience, and this one comes from another James. It's a good name. So thank you, James, for the question. And he's asking specifically about how 51Talk started prior to its funding. I mean, back then there were these giants and there still are around, like English First and VIP ABC. So he's asking about what the strategy was back then to actually lift up the company.
Sure. So, you know, like you said, there are other competitors out there, so you really have to stand apart from them. So one of the strategies at our inception was to have a really reliable platform upon which our classes are taught. And that's really the foundation of everything that we do, because that's where everything at Tri1Talk really happens for the teachers and the students. Secondly, we had to have paying clients. And, you know, because for our line of business, this was really a binary issue, because we're not really building a product in a factory and shipping it to people. We have to have one human being paired with another to make our lessons happen. So we needed to sign up simultaneously students and teachers to meet each other on the platform that we built, and be really aggressive about doing it. And I think that the aggressiveness of that was, you know, one of the keys to us taking off at the beginning. And, you know, really early on in our history, one of the company's co-founders, Sue, went to the Philippines, and from the ground up, she built a really incredible teacher operation there, mm-hmm. which is one of the major factors in our ability to, you know, gain traction and get going back then. Because in the Philippines, people have a really excellent English proficiency. So they've, you know, been really great teachers and continue to be. And that also really helped us take off. So once we took the demand from the English learners in China and connected it with these teachers in the Philippines, things started taking off, and that allowed us to expand globally and eventually even go public on the NYSE about a year ago now.
Mm-hmm. So this is what happened, and this was the strategy back then. And regarding today, what are you doing differently than the competition now?
I think from my perspective, you know, there are obviously a lot of competitors out there, but I think what really sets us apart is that we have a community with our teachers that we really care about and are actively building. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the nice things I've come to realize from my time at 51Talk is that our teachers have so much to share and contribute, and they're really passionate about sharing it, and they really want to share it with us. And mm-hmm. it's really been incredible insight. And we're not only just talking with and engaging with our teachers, but we're testing ideas with them, getting their feedback on things. And like Robin mentioned earlier, we're connecting them and getting them talking, and we're talking with them and really valuing their voices and their opinions. And that's been really important to us and important to them. And I think it's something that our teachers also really appreciate, and something that definitely sets us apart.
Yeah,
I see.
I agree with him, you know, because many of the teachers, you know, they're scattered across the country, mm-hmm. and they're sitting in their, you know, in their houses alone. So having a place where we can bring them all together and they can chat and we can support them in different ways and let them know that we're listening to them, mm-hmm. I think it's very important. And I know that as a teacher myself, just being a teacher in a public classroom, your coworkers are your support system. Uh-huh. So bringing them together, supporting them and giving them that voice and saying, we hear you, we're listening, we want your feedback, we want you to talk up to each other so you don't feel so alone out there. Because this is a unique type of role. Mm-hmm. I think that's key. That's a key thing that has made a difference for them and for the company.
I understand.
Like the China Business Cast and want to get involved? We have special offers for supporters of the show, starting from just $1 and up. We have something for everyone. Check out all the different ways to engage at www.chinabusinesscast.com/support. That's www.chinabusinesscast.com/support. Thanks.
This is great that you're talking about the community that you're building, because that's my next question. So thank you for leading up for this. Mm-hmm. James, you're the North American marketing manager, and I understand that you are recruiting the teachers to that extent. But this is still a question for both of you, and I want to know how you create the engagement with the students and the teachers. Maybe you can get into one example, one thing that works really well, and one thing that you tried and actually failed.
Sure.
So people can learn from that.
Yeah. So I'd say between the students and the teachers, you know, they're obviously connecting every day through their lessons, but we like trying to find ways to bring them together outside of those lessons to strengthen that student-teacher bond. And something that we found worked really well is celebrating holidays together. Obviously, both countries have their own unique holidays that they celebrate. And when the time comes up for each of those, we like putting together different activities for the teachers and students to kind of get to know each other better. So an example of this working really well was during Chinese New Year, where we asked our students to put together Chinese New Year greeting videos for their teachers, and we sent those out to them. And if you check out our 5-1 Talk YouTube channel, I think there's a compilation up there of those as well. So it's a great video, and our teachers loved it. And that was a really great success. On the flip side, for the holiday season here in the U.S., we tried out an idea where we had the teachers put together some holiday cards, and then we spent time collecting them before distributing them to the students. But with kind of the physical nature of it and the logistics, and like the busy holiday season, there was a lot of delay and such, so some cards didn't get there. So, you know, through trial and error, we kind of learned that it's maybe easier to do some of these activities digitally and kind of balance things that way. Mm-hmm. And then I guess just in general with kind of us engaging with the teachers, one of my favorite ones was when we brought some of our teachers to China to actually meet us and meet some of our students. And they love that. We love that. That was a really great success.
I see. How are you recruiting the teachers? How the process works?
So one of the keys for that is really finding where teachers get together, either online or offline, because obviously we are looking for a lot of teachers and there are a lot of teachers out there, but you know, the key to that is finding out where they kind of hang out, where they talk, what they like doing, what they like seeing and reading, and going into those places and really doing some targeted marketing there and letting them know that the opportunity exists, because for a position like this, some people have never heard of it before because it's a fairly new thing. Mm-hmm. So once they find out about it, a lot of teachers will say, I've been looking for something like this for years. I can't believe it actually existed. And then they'll just fall in love with it. So I think if you get the message out to the right people who are interested in it, which happens to be a lot of teachers, mm-hmm. then they just come to you. And that's been something that's worked for us pretty well.
I see. Robin, what worked and didn't work for you in terms of the engagement?
Well, just picking up on the recruiting piece, you know, that was kind of how James and I connected, you know, because I have this large teacher audience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so for me, helping him in that way, in, you know, recruiting teachers through my network, my networks, and my following in the education space, that's where I kind of chimed in. That was the beginning of our work relationship, was helping him. So like he said, you know, finding out where the teachers are, finding out where the thought leaders are in the space, who's listening to the teachers, where the teachers sharing information. Mm-hmm. I think that's key. You know, there's different places, Facebook, you know, where teachers are talking, Facebook groups, but you know, you have to go about it in a way where you're not spamming a group and, you know, yeah. But there's, mm-hmm. you know, like through my email newsletter, through my website, through different, you know, on LinkedIn, through different, I have, like, for example, I have an ESL bilingual group that I have over 12,000 teachers in.
I see.
So I was able to email all of them and let them know. So again, you know, that's just kind of reiterating the point of finding out where these people are who have the influence and the way to reach them through these different venues online.
Okay. You might have answered my next question, but let's try if you have anything more to add. So Nicholas, who's also a listener asked on the WeChat group, he wanted to know how you reached, he said 8,000, but then you told me that it's actually 10,000 teachers. So you definitely spoke about the scale and how you recruited them. Any other means?
Like I said, in general, it's kind of a multi-pronged approach. Obviously there's marketing, like we were talking about, finding where the teachers are and getting the message out to them. Then of course there are things like job boards and sort of basic areas like that. So you really have to try a lot of different things and just find what works. Mm-hmm. And for our particular position, I think we've kind of put together the right mix of that. I think another important aspect is just finding the right marketing message to communicate what this is to the teachers, because when they come across, let's say an ad for 5-1 Talk somewhere online, they'd never seen it before, you only have a split second to really capture their attention. So you have to make it look appealing. You have to make it something that they're going to understand right away. And like I said, a lot of people might not have heard about this before, but once they see it, it clicks, it makes sense to them, and they'll come to you.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
And you know what? I think the other point is too, and James and I were working on an article about it, is understanding that 5-1 Talk is a valid company. There are so many, you know, fake online education, you know, teaching companies, mm-hmm. and it's very easy to get caught up in a scam. And so I think, you know, by us presenting ourselves in a way where we stand out that we're not, because there are a lot of, you know, other companies, they're not even companies. There's a lot of scams out there that teachers fall for. So I think positioning ourselves in a positive, in the right way, mm-hmm. that we're legit, you know, that we are right. a business, because that, you know, that is something that we have to distinguish ourselves from, because there are a lot of those types of, you know, really bad potential things that people have lost money or have gotten scammed into. So I think
definitely. 500 never got paid.
Yeah, or lost money, or, you know, lost money. Right. Even saying, you know, you need to pay for these materials.
Right.
Real scams. And I think that's what's something that's very important for people to pay attention to when they're looking into online companies, mm-hmm. because there are quite a few, predators out there. So I think by distinguishing ourselves in that way, and I think, you know, we've done that very well.
Okay. Robin, let's talk about your LinkedIn influencer status, should I call it, or position?
I guess, you know, they call me a thought leader.
Okay.
A thought leader featured with influencers, with the influencers. So,
okay.
Yeah.
The point is that it gives you the opportunity to reach to a very large crowd within LinkedIn, something that some people would really want. Mm-hmm. And I would like to know what the role actually means inside the LinkedIn platform. And how do you get to such a position?
Okay, well, let me just kind of go back and tell you how this started. In 2011, I left a position at National Lewis University, and I've been in academia for many years. And so at the time, there was no publishing on LinkedIn. It was LinkedIn Today. It was a magazine that uh-huh. Daniel Roth ran. And there were the groups, and the groups were very active at the time. And when I left there, I was very, very interested in, I was looking for a lot of people to talk about academia because I missed it so much. So I became extremely active on there. And that's when I designed my website, my education website, and I started publishing articles there. I started sharing them as links into all these different groups. Mm-hmm. And so they would kick off these great conversations. So at that time, Ross Mayfield was there, and that's when they bought out SlideShare, I believe. I got a call from Ross Mayfield, and that's when he told me that they were looking into different publishing opportunities, and they noticed how much I published. And then I told him my story, and then in 2012, in October 2012, I made this little deck about how LinkedIn changed my life in a year. Because it really did. And I just made it because I wanted them to know I was so thankful for the platform. Because okay. I was trying to, you know, I was just expressing my gratitude. So I shared it on Jeff Weiner's feed. And I got a call right away, like within 5 minutes from LinkedIn. They published a story about me, about my experience. And then I just started becoming friends with people there. And then they shared my name in their 200 million member announcement. And then I started emailing Daniel Roth, the executive editor. He's been a phenomenal support system for me as I started to become more of a writer. Mm-hmm. So when they went into Pulse, so I had this relationship with a lot of people there, started doing some beta testing for them. So I guess, you know, my history with them is almost kind of a personal journey. Mm-hmm. And I still sounds do beta like testing. It. Yeah, I can't say that there's a way to do this now, because it really was this personal journey of me being grateful for them
okay.
and expressing it. And I think that they liked the fact that I was one of the first people who was actually sharing articles when they were actually going in that direction. And I didn't know that. So I helped, you know, I did some beta testing. I still do. And then when they started to, they wanted to expand it's what's called the flagship app, the new app. They asked me if I'd like to be someone who's featured in the education section with, mm-hmm. you know, the influencers. Of course I said, yes, thank you very much. and that was from Daniel Roth. So I have to say, you know, my relationship with him has been, my relationship with him and my relationship with everyone there, uh-huh. Goes back. And so if you say like responsibilities now, you know, I have to share certain things that are pretty much only related to education, because that's my space, mm-hmm. education technology, education management. And I, you know, I still help them out with little things here and there when they ask. You know, I do some of their product feedback. But that's how I got to this point.
Very
so I guess it wouldn't, yeah, it wouldn't be something I could say you can just go and do and apply. Uh-huh. It was a buildup of relationships over time, which with anything usually comes good.
You're right. Okay. So, LinkedIn people, if you think you want to start a thought leadership, you know, application, then, you know, let us know. Let our listeners know. People want that.
But I have to say, you know what? They really did give me, they gave me that personal support. You know, I would share something with Daniel through email, and he was just so kind to support me. And he, you know, everything I did or do, you know, I say, oh my gosh, look, this happened on LinkedIn. And I'm like, you know, I just got an article published in paper, you know, and online on the International Educator. And that was because someone found me on LinkedIn and an article I wrote on there. And so I think I'm grateful for that platform and the opportunities that have come along. And I believe that's how James found me. Am I correct, James?
Yep.
Okay. So this is how we're having this interview.
Yeah, right. It is. Yeah.
I understand. That's great. So we are towards the end of our episode, but we have a question that we ask almost all our interviewees because we think that's very valuable for the listeners. And this is recommendation of two books that each of you read, either you know, fiction or nonfiction, or something that really opened your eyes to something. We'll add that on the show notes for others to share.
Sure. Well, being an English major, I love this question. So I have to say, recently,
it's only two, James. Only two books, okay?
that's the hard part about it.
Canterbury Tales, James.
Not recently, but yeah. But recently, I did finish a biography of Louis the 14th by John Wolfe. And then for a fiction, I finished a novel called Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse. I definitely recommend that one. It's short, but really to the point and a really powerful read.
Okay. We're going to add that. Robin?
I am finishing up The Power of Now. I think it's a very important book. I believe they may have just reprinted it. It's phenomenal. I'm reading that now, and it's been life-changing for me, The Power of Now. Okay. I know it's an older book, but I'm also rereading Susan Cain's book, Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. Her book enlightened me as to who I am as an introvert. And I really didn't know, before her book came out, I really didn't know about even the name, you know, introvert, extrovert. And I think it's so powerful. So her book has changed my life.
Wow.
Completely.
Okay. So, I thought teachers has to be, well, not extroverts, but really non-introverts. So that's a very interesting point that you're raising.
It is interesting. And I think that now that I look back at my classroom time, I'm much happier what I'm doing now. I'm in my writing research, you know, quiet type of quieter space. And I think, there were times where I was overwhelmed as a teacher and I didn't realize it was because I was probably an introvert. So I think this is my right space in education where I'm at now.
Awesome. So how people can get in touch with you online? James, why don't we start with you?
Sure. If you want to get in touch with me, you can reach out the email to usmarketing@51talk.com. And then one of my colleagues will put you in touch with me from there.
Okay. And Robin, just search on LinkedIn.
You can find me on LinkedIn. You can't miss me there. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can drop me a note. And I do recommend that people drop a note instead of just send a friend request or LinkedIn request. Put a little note in there because it's good to know. You know, it's personal. Or you can reach me at Robin, 51talk.com. That's my email. Yeah, Robin at 51talk.com.
Okay. That's great. Awesome having you guys. Thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having
us. It was great having you on the show.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. You too.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Like the China Business Cast and want to get involved? We have special offers for supporters of the show, starting from just $1 and up. We have something for everyone. Check out all the different ways to engage at www.chinabusinesscast.com/support. That's www.chinabusinesscast.com/support. Thanks.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry, China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.